Put that on repeat for an hour.
We already used this song.
Yeah, we did, but it's so good. Had to use it again.
And we're talking about the movie this time.
Yeah, so why not? Yeah, we're back this week with less of a break.
Yeah.
Than the last time.
You didn't leave this time.
Yeah. So I'm still here.
Still in the same city.
Yep. Tonight we watched The Spy Who Loved Me.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore film. It's the 10th in the series.
Uh-huh.
1977, his third movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say right now, I think it's my favorite of his.
You would say that?
Yeah, I'm saying it.
Well, all right.
What you got to say about that?
Well, I don't agree.
Man with Golden Gun?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fair. No, I lost my headphones. Yeah, that's fair. But I like this. This is so classic, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's the classic formula.
I would agree that it's a classic Roger Moore.
Oh, man. It's like top five.
Of all of them?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
It's pretty good, though.
What's... Is Man with the Golden Gun top five of all of them?
Probably not.
Okay.
I wouldn't think.
I don't know if it's top five for me. It's definitely top 10.
I'd give it top 10.
I mean, that's 23
yeah,
movies.
Yeah,
considering
it's like the top half.
Yeah, so that's pretty decent. Yeah. No, I like this movie a lot. And that song, you can't beat it.
Well, the song is, I mean, that's a totally different story.
Yeah.
That song's incredible.
What did you think of the skiing cold open sequence?
That's probably my favorite of his.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, it's I think that... It's not as ridiculous as the For Your Eyes Only one, if you remember that, when he drops Blofeld in a big old chimney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's goofy.
But it ends really cool with him skiing off a cliff.
Yeah.
Opening his parachute, and then the Bond theme plays.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
That stunt was crazy.
But it also was followed by him skiing down a hill, and I just feel like in the classic Bonds, he skis a lot, and it's just never great.
It's hard to get some good. I bet they're gonna have some sweet skiing, Inspector.
Oh yeah,
because they're in the snow. I was so excited to see that.
I think that's gonna be sweet. Yeah, it's gonna be tight.
But man, so many naked women in this.
Yeah, there
are opening credits.
There are a lot of boobs throughout the movie.
I don't think I ever noticed them because I never watched it in Blu-ray until now, and the definition is there.
Yeah, you see full boob.
Full boob. Just naked women running around.
Just running around in the credits.
I mean, they're good credits. Not just because, it's a big part, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like the vibe of it.
Yeah. You know, probably not close to my favorite, like, opening credits visually.
Yeah.
But the song, really.
The song.
The song.
Yeah.
Kills it.
I want to talk about these songs real quick. They recently did a poll about the top James Bond theme songs, and I disagree with the results.
What are the results?
A little bit. So, Shirley Bassey took the top three.
All three?
All three.
I can see two of them, but I don't think Moonraker should be.
Moonraker is number two.
What?
Yeah.
No way. What's number three?
Number three is Diamonds Are Forever.
That one's better than Moonraker.
It's better than Moonraker, but it's not top three. Goldfinger, obviously, number one.
Yeah.
And then fourth place, Live and Let Die.
Okay.
Skyfall 5.
Okay. Well.
Which, those are great. I love those two. Who did they interview? They over 1,000 people voted.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it came out as. I think those people,
I feel like
don't
those
understand.
I feel like those are the ones that everyone has listened to, no matter if you've seen like a Bond movie or not.
Yeah, that's very true.
So maybe that's a bad poll.
Yeah, I know. She's, I mean, she's great. I'd put this song. Is this number one? Nobody does it better. It's top three.
It's definitely top three. I don't know if I'd put it at number one. I'd have to really look back at all and make sure I'm not forgetting one.
Yeah, it's hard. There's a lot of them that like you just re-listen to, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about how good that was.
Yeah,
I was re-listening to "Tomorrow Never Dies."
That's
I really like that song.
Yeah,
"Sheryl Crow."
You know what's last though?
Well, there's two options.
"Die Another Day."
Oh, the Madonna.
Yeah.
What about some "Another Way to Die"?
Yeah, that one's bad too.
They're both pretty awful.
Yeah.
The problem is that Die Another Day has cool credits. It's cool visually.
Yeah, but I mean, the Madonna song is
doesn't
shit.
Help.
Yeah,
it's doesn't bad. Help that.
No one's helping anyone in that movie.
No. But yeah, we get into this movie where they do the old, I think actually before the opening credits, they do the old Agent XXX. I call it the switcheroo.
Uh-huh.
Where you think, oh, this guy is Agent XXX, but no, it's the woman.
It was the woman the whole time.
A woman can do anything a man can do.
She's XXX.
Except she doesn't do a whole lot in this movie.
No, she doesn't.
They kind of bring her down.
They really,
to a dumb level.
They make her out as this like, equal agent but a woman to James Bond, but then they kind of just like make her a sidekick.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything.
It kind of. It's not a step forward.
It was 1977, so.
Yeah.
Can't really expect much from that.
I guess so. I wanna comment on Roger Moore's kissing.
Oh, God. You mean face smashing?
His face smashing. He's got this technique. He just puts his mouth on the other person's mouth. Just moves his head from
just
side to side.
Mashes.
Yeah.
With his soft grandpa lips.
I don't know why he does it.
It's like kissing
like
a
that.
Velvet pillow.
How old was he in this movie? I'm going to look this up.
He was old the whole time.
He was old. He looked all right in Live and Let Die. And
yeah.
Okay, so 1920. He was 50.
That's an old man.
50 years old in this movie. It was third movie. His third movie of seven, and he's 50.
Shit.
That is old.
Also, first appearance of Jaws.
Yeah.
Classic character.
Classic. And did you know that his teeth were created by, I guess, Stanley Kubrick's daughter?
I did not know
She
that.
Did the thing. And they were so uncomfortable and painful that he could only wear them for like 30 seconds at a time.
Well, maybe they shouldn't let Stanley Kubrick's daughter create props anymore.
I mean, she's sure her dad's awesome, but just don't let her create stuff just because that's her dad.
You can't just do that. I mean, this is probably his best appearance because this is the appearance where they try to make him kind of serious and like kind of intimidating, even though he still is goofy because it's a guy with metal teeth that, I mean, he's really strong, but he also just tries to like slowly bite your neck.
He kind of vampire bites them and then they pass out.
Yeah. And a vampire bites a shark.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's his best one because this is the one where they're like, all right, let's make this cool henchman. And the other ones, they just kind of use him as comic relief, like in Moonraker, where he flies off in a spaceship with another tall, giant woman that doesn't talk.
Yeah, Moonraker's rough
for
Jaws and everybody involved and everybody watching it.
I forget, what was the other one he appeared in? And he was...
Was he in another one?
He was in three of them. Yeah.
Richard Kiel.
Yeah.
I know those two. I'm not sure what else. Maybe, what else would he have been? An Octopussy? No. Maybe?
I'm not sure.
Would he have been in For Your Eyes Only? I don't think so. Actually, For Your Eyes Only was supposed to be the movie that came after this one.
Actually, I was wrong. It was only two.
He was only in those two?
Yes, I looked it up.
Oh, okay. I thought he was in more, too.
I thought he was in three, but I guess I'm just crazy.
But yeah, at the end of this movie in the credits, they do the James Bond will return in For Your Eyes Only. But then they decided, hey, Star Wars came out, and that was great. Let's do Moonraker next. So they did that instead.
And look how that turned out.
Yeah. They should have waited a little bit.
They should have never made that movie.
What if they made Moonraker now?
I don't think it would go
over. You think
over
it would
well.
Go over? Well, it'd look a lot better.
It would look a lot better, but I think people are digging this, like, real Bond. Like,
yeah.
Bond, but I don't think they would dig spaceships and lasers and...
What if they did Moonraker instead of Die Another Day, though?
I could dig that.
I would have been all about that.
Yeah, I could dig that.
If they're going to go crazy, go all out with that.
Go all out crazy.
Oh, speaking of Stanley Kubrick, he actually worked on this movie.
Did he really?
Uncredited, because he didn't want to be credited, because he's Stanley Kubrick and he's goofy like that. But I guess the DP, Claude Renoir, his eyesight was failing during the end of this movie. And in the whole big tanker sequence, he couldn't see to the end of the set.
Yeah.
So they had Stanley Kubrick come in as a lighting consultant.
I actually have read that before.
Yeah.
Which you can kind of tell if you watch it knowing that. And
like, yeah, it's a lot like, what's it a lot like? I mean, 2001.
Yeah.
And
some of the sets.
Doctor Strangelove-ish.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot like that.
Yeah.
What else do I want? Oh, there's... You know what kind of threw me off? Even though James Bond is he's a sexual guy.
Mm.
But that whole, like, whorehouse in Egypt where he just, like, his friend sets him up with that girl.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't feeling that.
You didn't dig it?
No.
Whatever, man.
Because he didn't work for it.
Yeah. Well, he wanted a prostitute. What are you going to do? He's in Egypt.
I mean, he never really works for it, but at least he's smooth about it.
Mm-hmm.
With this, he was just like, oh, yeah, cool.
He's like, well, win in Rome.
Win in Egypt.
Yeah, win in Egypt.
What do you say? Win in Egypt. Oh, something.
Something about trying their treasures or something.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
It's just a prostitute, man. Just let the man have a prostitute.
Yeah.
Also, the first appearance of the classic underwater car.
Oh, yeah, that Lotus?
Yeah.
That thing is sweet.
That is sweet.
I like that car. It was... actually, I heard that they were looking for a car to, like, use for this sequence or in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard this, that the... One of the guys, maybe the owner of Lotus or something, he took that car and just, before they even decided to use it, drove it to the studio and just parked it outside. Just in hopes that they would see that car and then be like, oh man, let's get in contact with whoever makes that car and use it. And I guess that's how it worked out.
That's awesome.
But I want to confirm that that's true, but I cannot. But it's a cool story.
It is a cool legend. Legend of the Lotus.
Yeah. Did you... There's a whole sequence with Jaws and her and him in Egypt when they're trying to... He takes them in the van to that spot.
Uh-huh.
And then they get the keys from him and get the microfilm that they're after. And they go back to the van. Well, she gets the microfilm, goes back to the van. And then James Bond gets there with the keys and he just dicks around until Jaws... Rips half the van off.
Tearing the roof open, tearing the fenders off.
Just making women driving jokes when he's not even giving her the keys to drive the thing.
Well, they could have made it out a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
And then they had Jaws hanging onto the car and then
and then
smash
him against the wall. Like half a mile down the road, the thing busts down.
Yeah.
And
they have to walk.
Yeah. And then they take a boat.
Yeah, that's classic James Bond dick move.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He could have just really solved that very easily.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing about being... You could be James Bond and be smooth and goofy and make those jokes, but still get the job done. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
That was the most dickish moment.
Just give her the keys,
moment.
Man. Just give her the keys.
That's my least favorite Roger Moore moment, of him just dicking around with those keys.
Yeah. Kind of ruined the whole, escape.
Yeah.
That they are trying to do.
I like that. I like the lair in this one.
Yeah, the set design in this one is really good.
It was actually nominated for 3 Oscars, including art direction and set decoration.
That is a good call. Because
yes.
The art direction is really awesome in this movie. That's one of the things that really sticks out every time I watch it. It's like, the lair is awesome. Like, the sets inside the lair are awesome.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it inspired a lot of the ideas in the Austin Powers set design with the ridiculous, like underwater
lavish,
layers.
Like, rich guy.
Yeah. It definitely was very similar to that kind of stuff, especially in Goldmember when he's got the underwater submarine.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. a whole lot.
Yeah. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Did you know, though, getting back to this song, I know we keep going back to it and talking about it. It was the first one in the series, though, to be titled something other than the title of the movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it's got the title in the song, though.
Exactly. So it makes sense.
She sings the title.
She does.
But you can't read the title because it's not the title of the song.
No. That is true.
Man, what a good song.
And they reveal Q's name in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that, too.
Yeah. She calls him Barbara Bach, plays Agent Triple X, who's also Ringo Starr's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ringo Starr. What a guy.
The best Beatle.
The best Beatle. Said no one.
But no, she calls him Major Boothroyd.
That's weird. I don't like
it. It's a weird name. I like Q.
Yeah.
Q works.
I guess Q really isn't his name, but.
Yeah, he's the quartermaster.
Yeah.
Desmond Llewellyn. Rest in peace again. Probably going to say that every episode.
every movie that he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, the only one. Well, the only one Q's not in is Dr. No and Casino Royale, I think. It's the only ones I can think of.
Yeah.
That Q is not. Because I think he shows up from Russia with Love for the first time.
Huh.
Did you know that one of the first directors for this movie considered was Steven Spielberg?
Oh. That would have been bad, I think.
You think?
No, I don't think his style really. Really goes with the whole Bond.
Yeah, I mean he did a pretty good water movie.
Shut up.
What?
Man, shut up.
Did he not?
No.
What's not good?
What are you thinking of?
I'm talking about Jaws.
Oh, I guess so.
What do you think I was thinking of?
Honestly, I don't know, but I just thought it would be bad.
Oh, okay. I mean, he hasn't made a good movie since Minority Report, in my opinion.
Really?
That's what I say.
I would have to look at the a fact sheet. Look at a sheet of all the movies and see if that would be correct.
Yeah, he made Jaws in 1975, and then I guess was inspiration for the
name of the character. I could see if you got one, one movie under your belt and it's a hit.
Yeah.
It's a huge hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you'd be considered, but
it's water too. He's on the water.
Yeah.
They're gonna need a bigger boat. They got a bigger boat in this.
Sharks though. Got sharks.
Well, there's sharks a lot in these movies. This one didn't have sharks. This one had sharks.
Yeah, because there's a shark tank that they drop people in.
I bet you he was like, I don't want to see that much shark.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to do two shark movies.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Too much shark. I read this, the book for The Spy Who Loved Me.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't read all the Ian Fleming, James Bond books yet, but I can tell you that this is the worst one.
Really?
Definitely.
What's so
easily
bad
the worst one. It's got, of this movie, it's got one character in it that's in the movie that's also in the book. Do you know who that character is?
Is it General Gogol?
No.
Is it Q?
No. Is he in there? No, he's not in there.
Is it... I don't think it's Jaws.
It's not Jaws.
The bad guy, Stromberg.
No, he only this character only shows up in four chapters of the novel. About maybe less than a third of the book he's in.
Really?
Yeah. It's a guy named James Bond.
That's the only character? That's the only similar character?
Yeah. And he's only in there for less than a third of the book.
Really?
It's written from the first person perspective of a woman named Vivian Mitchell, I think. She's run away from home and goes to the United States and works in a motel in New York. Uh-huh. And she tells you all about her life growing up, losing her virginity to this guy in a movie theater, and then having a baby. Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, not having a baby. She had sex with some guy, then had an abortion, then came to the United States. And then she was working at this motel, and these two guys come up, and they're trying to attack her and take over the place. But who shows up? James Bond shows up and helps her out. And then she loves him.
That's the end?
And that's it. Then he leaves, obviously.
Hate to see it. Actually, I read Ian Fleming was really, really not happy with that book.
With the book?
Yeah, and to the point that he, like, didn't want it to be, like, published, like, in paperback.
It's not good.
Yeah. And well, I guess it wasn't, like, wasn't really available much until after he died.
Oh, okay.
Because he just didn't like it that much.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So not even close to the plot of the movie.
Nothing to do with it at all. Just about a spy who loves this woman.
All right.
And I want to read you a passage.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Go ahead.
This will give you a sense of Ian Fleming.
Okay.
I think. All right. This is after James Bond saved the day and everything, and they're back in the bedroom.
Ooh. Heating up. This is a PG-13 show, Josh.
This is a first-person perspective from Vivian. She says, "All women love semi-rape."
All right.
"They love to be taken." That's all I got to read.
All right, well.
I don't think he chooses words well.
No.
In that little part.
Well, a lot of stories, I think he doesn't choose words well.
No, I'm reading Live and Let Die, and we'll get into that next week, I'm sure, or whenever the next one. Very racist.
Yeah. The movie is, too.
Yeah, it is.
So at least they're similar.
Yeah. There's more similarities to that than there are this, yeah. Which is nice. But yeah, this book, if you're going to read the Ian Fleming books, save that one for last or never.
Or never.
Yeah.
Or never pick it up.
It's. I made my way through it just because it's not very long, but it's not very good.
Well, maybe I will skip that one.
Yeah, you should.
Okay. Glad we got that covered.
Yeah. I mean, what? I like this movie, though.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I really like it. It's classic. It's got the, you know, Bond. They're going after this big villain who's trying to dominate the world, trying to start a...
start an underwater world.
Yeah, he wants to start a war, so he destroy everybody.
And
he's safe.
Yeah, and then get his little underwater kingdom.
The thing is, what happens... That's not a lot of people, though, that you start the kingdom with.
No.
These guys never have a good plan, I don't think.
No, I don't think they really think it through all the time.
They go balls out with their spending money
on
it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to commend him for spending all this money on this crazy scheme, but I mean, he doesn't really follow through all the way. He doesn't think it through all the way.
No. I like this guy as a villain, though. Does he ever get out of that chair in the movie?
Yes.
He did? Oh, yeah.
Because he's on the boat, remember?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. He does that. But I'm going to say this is probably my favorite Roger Moore. It's either this one or Live and Let Die, which we're watching next week.
Live and Let Die. All right, so you're racist.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first one I saw.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it sticks with me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're choosing from... Well, I mean, I guess we're in agreement that his best ones are his early ones.
Yeah.
After that,
definitely.
Gets not so good. For Your Eyes Only was okay. But
less than not so good.
Yeah. Especially A View to a Kill, Moonraker.
Can't wait to hate on that movie so much.
It's not good, but it's James Bond.
It's James
Bond. So it's better than a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a charm to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's our... What else you got to say about this?
I mean, I guess I like it less because I'm less of a Roger Moore fan.
Okay.
Because I'm not a huge fan of the campiness and like the cheesy one-liners. Because I don't know so much the way it's written, but more the way Roger Moore delivers it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got an extra layer of cheese to it.
Yeah, it does.
Because I was like trying to imagine in my head Daniel Craig or someone saying the same line, and I could see it more as like a cheeky, like, haha, where Roger Moore's like,
"Yeah,
hey, I'm this old guy making dad jokes, you know?" But overall, I mean, it's cool. It's got some cool scenes.
Yeah.
Cool action scenes, awesome sets.
Yeah.
Like we talked about. Cool characters in this one.
Yeah.
Classic ones.
Yeah. I mean, it started Jaws. It's got... I like Agent Triple X, even though...
Yeah.
They make a lot of the women useless in this whole series, but...
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
Overall, though, I do like this movie.
Yeah. I like this one a lot. It's...
Not my favorite Roger Moore, I don't think.
No.
Though.
It's my favorite of what we've watched so far. I know it's not yours.
Not mine. No.
Yours is Man with Golden Gun still?
So far? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've watched Man with the Golden Gun, Living Daylights, and The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
Spy Who Loved Me is my favorite. And
Okay.
You Like Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah.
Living Daylights is it's good.
Living Daylights. Man, that's a song too.
It is.
We've got some good songs so far.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do when we get to the bad songs? And then we're not gonna be pumped to do.
You know
podcast.
What? I remember last week I was talking about I don't know the song to License to Kill.
I don't either.
I listened to it again. It's awesome.
All right.
I totally forgot about
it. Excited to get to that one.
Yeah, it's a cool song.
Speaking of songs, tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah.
The Spectre theme comes out.
Dude, it's in like 4 hours.
Writings on the Wall by Sam Smith.
No, like 3 hours.
It's coming out for us.
I mean, by the time you hear this, it'll be out.
Yeah, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be out.
Actually, no, unless you listen to it like right when it's
It probably won't. I don't think anyone will.
But yeah, but man, I can't wait to talk about that and listen to it.
Yeah, that'll be
mostly
good. The 15-second snippet they released seemed pretty kind of reminded me of like a
classic.
Like a Shirley Bassey. Bassey.
Yeah.
Like a really orchestral song, which I really like. So
I really like
it. It got me pumped. It got me pumped to hear it.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it was going to be. I had no idea what it was going to sound like. I thought it might be like a Thunderball-ish, because that was the last, this is the first time in 50 years that they've used a male British artist for the song since, well, not since Thunderball, with, is it Tom Berry?
I don't remember.
I forget. But yeah, Thunderball's cool. And I thought it might be like that, but then Sam Smith's voice isn't really that low.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah. It's going to be sweet. I can't.
Wait, Thunderball. That doesn't make sense.
Thunderball.
What? Live and Let Die. It's Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. They lied.
Man, isn't Jack White British, too? Or is he American?
I think he's American. But they don't count him either way.
All right, whatever.
Because
that song's not very good.
I'm excited to hear the song. I like the sound; is pretty promising.
Yeah,
definitely. Did you see that? This movie's coming out in the UK before anywhere else, as it usually
does.
That's
kind of shitty.
I know. Let's go to England.
Yeah,
go see
to England for the premiere.
So it comes out then, and they're beefing up security so that it doesn't get pirated. So they're giving it all the security guys night vision goggles.
Really?
Yeah. To wear in the theater.
Oh, for the UK premieres?
Yeah.
So they don't
like in the
online?
Yeah, in the theaters, like for the week before.
That's crazy.
Because I guess people are taking like shots on their phone and, you know, videos. And I guess that a lot of people use, because phones are so shiny now, they'll take a sock and put it over their phone and just cut a hole around the camera. Like a black sock, just to like make no shine on the phone. Make you not be able to see it.
That's a lot of
tricksters.
Like, yeah, a lot of effort put into taking an iPhone video of a movie that comes out a week later everywhere
else. I wouldn't watch it.
No, I wouldn't watch an iPhone quality taping. I'm
not
just wait to see it in the theater.
Yeah. This
the biggest thing I think
thing.
Would be like spoilers.
Yeah, I don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
I already know too much.
You don't know.
I know.
We're going to have this conversation again.
In a month.
Like right now?
Yeah. But I know.
Do you know?
Well, we're going to have a conversation in a month where I'm right. That's what we're going to do.
I'm not saying you're not right.
Yeah.
But it's too obvious. Sam Mendes came out and said something, though.
What?
Let me find this. He's talking about the whole Blofeld thing.
Uh-huh.
Let me see here. Oh. But he might be Blofeld. I don't know.
I think he is, man.
All right, here we go. What did he say? He said the B word. We talk about it all the time. It's the great figure from the Bond vault, as it were. There was this big specter hanging over the movie, and the franchise, which is Blofeld, and what happened to the supervillain. That's all I'm going to say. So he didn't really say shit.
Okay, Oberhauser is going to turn into Blofeld, is what I'm saying.
What does that mean?
Something's going to happen through the course of this movie that's going to turn Oberhauser into Blofeld.
He's going to go get his name changed?
He's going to be a different person, you know?
Is he?
Like how Anakin turned into Darth Vader.
Yeah, but he turned in. Yeah, I feel like that's a change from a name to a new title.
Yeah.
This is like,
I just have a feeling he's going to be, Blofeld's going to be in it somehow.
He's going to be
Maybe
involved.
It's not Christoph Waltz.
But I hope it is.
I do, because that would be such an awesome person to play that villain.
I know. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't.
I kind of hope it's him, but then it'd be sad because it's so obvious. But I know. Also, it would be awesome because he's such a good actor.
I wouldn't have minded if...
They didn't name it Spectre.
Yeah.
Then
that's
been
the biggest problem with the whole thing.
Is they named it Spectre.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if they hadn't named it Spectre, would we have thought that? If they hadn't named it Spectre, people would have been like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if he's Blofeld?
Yeah.
Then people would be like, shut up.
Yeah.
What?
That's just... I don't know. We're just going to wait a month because it's just a big... mind fuck going on right now. No one knows which way is up.
No.
It's just too much.
But it's going to be so good.
Yeah, so good. I can't wait. Keep watching the trailer. Keeps getting me more excited. The song comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
Makes me more excited.
We'll talk about that on the next one.
Yeah.
We'll do I don't know. I'm going
to. Maybe we'll have to invest in that $100 card
to
see
go
Skyfall.
See it.
Or it's not Skyfall. To see Spectre as many times as possible. We might need it.
We might.
No, I don't think there's any way I could see it $100 worth.
No. Well, maybe here.
Yeah, here you could. With
we could go to IMAX five times.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I want to... So, you know what I'm getting sick of?
Tell me.
You know.
I think I know.
You know, I'm getting sick of people. Pierce Brosnan speaking the truth.
Yeah.
People aren't getting it.
Yep.
He's telling us, sure, you can have a black James Bond. That's fine. But he might not be. But no, you can't have a woman be James Bond.
His name's James.
That's the point.
That's the point.
You could have a female 007 at a different point in time.
Yeah. Well,
not that I want to see that.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure that it was established that, like, once a 00 dies, there's no other 00 by that
they
number.
They retire that number?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure about that.
Because remember when in GoldenEye, when Trevelyan died, he was
006. Yeah, 006.
They didn't have a new 006.
Right.
He was just gone.
Yeah.
He's dead.
So do they... Are there only 9, though?
Yeah.
So what happens when they all die?
I don't think they ever talked about that.
That could be an issue. Because in Casino Royale, he says, I know the... Oh, what does he say? Something about the life expectancy of a 00 isn't very long.
Yeah.
So you won't have to worry about me for too much longer.
But I'm sure they have like more 00s like after those 9.
Yeah.
Like they're not gonna.
Yeah.
I feel like they wouldn't just like keep renaming them 001.
Yeah.
Like if you have a code name for something, you don't replace. You don't use the same code name for that thing, you know.
Yeah, but then. But if it were the case that they could reuse them.
Yeah.
And sure, you could put a 00 female. 007 female.
But the thing that bugs me is,
I don't
want to
see it, really.
Like, okay, a black James Bond, like, whatever. Even though I kind of, you know, am like, whatever. Like, because he was written as, like, a British, like, white male. Like, that's just the character.
Yeah.
But they could make him black and not change anything fundamental about the character. But, like, when you start talking about, like... Ooh, let's make it, like, what, could you ever see a woman James Bond? Could you ever see a gay James Bond?
James Bond, I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, like...
Don't do that.
Like, I just think they're trying to make it trendy, like, let's change it for the sake of, like, changing it, you know? Just to keep, like, I don't know, just be like, oh, yeah, see, equality. But it's like, okay, you can have equality, you can have, like, equal rights, you can have strong gay characters, you can have strong female characters, but you don't have to change well-established classic characters just to prove that point.
Like, yeah.
Make new characters that accomplish those goals. Yeah. Make new characters that accomplish, like, showing a strong gay character or showing a strong female character. Like the Hunger Games, you know, the movies aren't great, but like an original character that's, like, a strong female character. Like, what if they took those movies and they're like, all right, we're going to make Katniss, like, you know, like a dude. Like a gay dude.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, yeah, that's like... Okay, cool, like, we're having gay characters, but, like, why?
Well, yeah.
What's the point of changing the character to fit that? Like, there's no...
Don't change it for just because you can change it. Have a good reason to change it.
Yeah.
And these movies are... I guess it's about people wanting it to be relevant and seem like it. But the way that these movies stay relevant is their plots are around whatever's happening at that time.
Yeah, and
that's how they stay relevant. They keep the character how, I mean, sure, he's evolving a little bit and changing, but he's still that core character working in whatever is set in these environments. Like, they're going for this microfilm in 1977 in Spy Who Loved Me. Now they're going for the list that's being leaked on YouTube in Skyfall. It's all about what's going on in the world.
Like, the plot changes, the world changes, the style of the film changes, the locations change, but James Bond doesn't change. It's the same James Bond. That's why you keep going to the movies for 50 years, because you want to see James Bond, this dude who, you know, sleeps with a lot of women, is a womanizer, is like an alcoholic, smoker, doing crazy shit and doing crazy stunts. You don't, like, you can't just, like, change those aspects of the character just because it's, like, the cool thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Don't change it because you feel like you need to.
Yeah.
We need to be politically correct, so we need to change this character. No, it's fine. Yeah. How it is. You can make other stories out of, you could do a spinoff of different agents.
Yeah.
Not that I want to see, I don't want this series to go into a spinoff route, but you could do it and keep that character there.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you wanted a strong female spy character, write a new character that accomplishes what you want. But why are you trying to, like, campaign to change a classic character that's like, oh, let's take, like, I don't know, let's take Harry Potter and make him an Asian woman. like why? There's no point to that. Like, oh, well, Asian women aren't represented in the media. Okay, write a book with an Asian woman as your character and write it well and tell the story you want to tell and show the themes you want to tell, show the message you want to get across, but don't fuck with other people's literature and characters that they created. What do you think Ian Fleming would be like? Okay, we're going to we're going to make a movie based on one of your books. He's like, okay. It's like, but we think it'll be better if James Bond is like a lesbian woman. He's like, what the fuck? Then it's not James Bond. Yeah. Don't make that. Don't call it James Bond. Make that movie if you want, but don't call it James Bond.
Yeah.
Don't put it in my universe, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just silly.
Just keep the character. And, I mean, sure, he's changing for the times, but he's still that guy who they should adapt his characteristics to the time.
Yeah.
Not change his characteristics for the time.
Obviously, like, because if you read the old books, he's like a little bit like sexist, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously they're not going to have, this is a passage in Thunderball. He talks about how women are terrible drivers and how there's a passage where he says like this driving mirror is usually an accessory only used by men because women don't know how to drive. And it's like, you can't put that in like a movie nowadays. People will be upset about it. You know? It's like, okay, that's like a logical thing to like not put in.
Yeah.
But still, it's not like, it's not like, oh, like we're going to take out this passage of him like talking about how women are bad drivers and we're going to replace it with him talking about how he's a feminist and you know, he goes to like LGBT fundraisers all the time. You know, it's just like, just take out that part, whatever.
You're allowed to have flawed characters.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have a flawed protagonist like he is.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, people sure like, oh, I want to be James Bond. He's smooth. He's cool. But he's also very flawed.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
He's like a tragic hero.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be a woman to do that. No. Like, he doesn't have to be gay to do that. He's a tragic hero. He's got his flaws.
Yeah.
He's a little sexist. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about women. That's like established because.
Yeah. I mean Casino Royale set that up.
Yeah. And that's
very
what,
well.
That's what the cool thing about these new Bonds is they're setting up why he's the way he is. He's an alcoholic. He's, you know, like damaged mentally. He like doesn't care about women because of the shit that happened in his past.
Yeah.
And that's who he is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how the character was written. And some people like it, some people don't like it, but that's the character.
Yeah.
The way it was, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know, it just bugs me when people are asking all these questions, like...
Yeah.
Like, I can see, like... I mean, Idris Elba would obviously be, like, an awesome Bond.
Sure.
He's a smooth,
I'd
like,
be fine with him.
Like, smooth dude and...
Yeah.
A really great actor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't understand why asking the question, like, oh, could there be a black James Bond leads to, like, oh, could, like, James Bond be, like... like a 6 foot tall lizard man, like you know, like I don't know. I just like I hate when people try to use their like values they want to get across and try to project it on other people's characters they've created.
Yeah,
because like if I wrote a character and I was like, okay, I'm gonna write like this like character. It's a black man who who like hates midgets because he was like like mugged by a midget when he was a child. Yeah. So he's like really afraid of midgets. And this is my character. This is like I want to portray that, like, you know, maybe like phobias or fears can get the best of you because he's like scared of midgets.
Yeah.
Midgets. But, you know, midgets aren't bad people.
Right.
And then so I was like, okay, this is my character. This is how I created him. Someone comes in, they're like, all right, well, midgets are pretty popular right now. So why don't we take, instead of midgets, why don't we make it like tall blonde women?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's like, that's not my character. And they're like, yeah. Okay, well, instead of a black guy, why don't we have him be a midget?
Yeah.
Because those are like hot right now in the right. media. And it's like, okay, well, like, that's a totally different story than the yeah. one that I was trying to tell.
Yeah.
So why have it be my story? Why call it the same thing? Why say that it's my story when it's clearly yeah. not, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like the story you want to tell is bad.
Right.
It's not like the values you're trying to promote are bad.
But it's not just that not character.
That. Yeah. yeah.
The movie shouldn't, your plot shouldn't change the character. Your character should fit into the plot, and you should write it around a good character.
Yeah.
And the way that character is, he can evolve, he can adapt to the times, but I don't think you change his characteristics.
Yeah.
And if you do, then you're just making a new action franchise.
Yeah.
Is all you're doing.
I mean, it's just, it's along the same lines of like how you see, like someone writes like an original action movie and they're like, all yeah. right, well, no one wants to see this movie, so we're just going to put like the name Die Hard on it.
Yeah.
And sell it as a Die Hard movie.
Yeah.
It's like the same, but like opposite, you know?
Yeah.
Someone like writes a story they want and they're like, all right, well, no one wants to see this movie. So I guess it's not,
well, it's
that similar, but it's like,
you know,
it's like, you know, okay, I wrote this. This is how I want it. But yeah. they're like, all right, well, we want it to be like this. And it's like, all right, well, that's your story, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's your character, not my character. Yeah. So.
But I think that, I mean, sure, they could go with the black James Bond, but
yeah.
Pierce Brosnan said if he had to predict, he'll be a male and he'll be white. And he's probably right.
There's a proven track record.
Yeah, it's worked pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's how he was originally written. Yeah. I don't care if he could be black. That's fine with me.
Yeah,
but I mean, keeping I just that want to character.
Clarify that I'm not against like
yeah.
black characters or women characters no. or gay characters no. or anything like that. I just don't like people trying to make James Bond like that.
Yeah,
it's like that's not the character.
I wouldn't want to see, like you said, you wouldn't want to see Harry Potter be an Asian woman.
Yeah, because that's not Harry Potter.
Like you wouldn't want to see Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible. You wouldn't want to see him be sumo wrestler.
No, he's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
yeah, it's just like it's the same kind of thing, you know?
Like yeah.
with any like classic character or classic literature, like film or anything like that, you don't want to see like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like there's some examples of like changing a like a race or like a backstory or something like that.
Sure.
And it, like, works, but they still kind of keep it within the same boundaries. Like,
yeah.
like the remake of Scarface, they made him, like, yeah. He was an Italian gangster
mm-hmm.
in the original 1930s movie. And then right. in the, like, the Al Pacino version, he yeah. was a Cuban immigrant,
yeah.
you know. And it's like, okay, well, that's he's a different race, he's a different backstory, but he's still the same character.
Same character, same goals.
They didn't make him, like, a woman or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a different story because it was a remake of one movie.
Yeah.
James Bond isn't, none of these movies are remakes. These yeah. are all in like 23 independent stories in this universe, yeah. you know? So once you have 14 books, 23 movies, establishing a character as the way that he is.
Yeah.
I think it's just silly to try and push.
I think that, I feel like they're mixing it up enough with the Daniel Craig movies.
Yeah.
That it's not, there's a lot of energy in this franchise. It's not like it's
yeah.
dying.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, Skyfall was like the biggest.
Yeah,
it's the biggest like, hit they've had so far.
Yeah, it is. The biggest film in the UK ever, I think.
Yeah, the highest grossing James Bond movie by far.
Yeah. And it's so this franchise isn't losing steam.
No.
For sure.
So they're not trying to like reinvent.
No.
They're just trying to keep telling the same story.
Keep that character. See, it's basically about seeing how that character reacts to the time that he's in.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the world.
And that's a big theme of the Daniel Craig movies, is like, he's behind the times. He's like a relic of the past. That's been a huge theme in the Daniel Craig films.
Yeah, and it's great.
Yeah, and it really works.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know why it seems to happen like every year or so. This like starts happening again. But I still think Daniel Craig has a few more left in him.
I think I'm hoping that he wants to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I know that stuff's going on. But he doesn't know.
I feel like they're setting up for like at least one or two more.
Yeah.
Because they're introducing Spectre, which is the evil organization of the Bond universe.
Yeah.
They're setting up. They're not going to make that a one movie villain. You know?
Yeah.
They're not going to set up Blofeld and make it a one movie villain. Yeah. So I feel like they're setting up for at least like one sequel or two sequels maybe, and then Daniel Craig will be done. Because think of how epic it'll be if they show, you know, the whole Spectre saga in Daniel Craig films. It starts off with Casino Royale, ends with him defeating Blofeld and Spectre. That would be the best run that any James Bond has ever had, any like actor as James Bond has ever had.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that he realizes that, and like the writers and maybe Sam Mendes. I think he's done after this, but he also said that after Skyfall.
Yeah, I don't know if he's great, but they always get good directors in.
Yeah.
Actually, they always get directors that not big name people. I think Sam Mendes is kind of the biggest name they've had.
Yeah, but even he was
from what
kinda,
I can remember.
He wasn't that big when he started doing it.
Yeah. I mean he had his
he wasn't like a household name. Like if you were into like films
film,
and
yeah.
Like you
would
who
know.
He was,
but he's not like a Spielberg or Christopher Nolan name to most people. But yeah, that's our Bond rant.
Yeah.
We like this character.
We like him. The way he is.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all after all that ranting. I'm ranted out now.
We're 47 minutes into this thing, which is...
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good length.
I like that length.
Yeah.
So
next week, what's on?
Next week, we'll go...
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die, Roger Moore's first... movie.
Also very racist.
Very racist.
We'll get into that.
I love this movie, though.
Blaxploitation movie.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some Black Dynamite thrown in.
Oh, yeah. Maybe do a double double viewing.
Yeah.
And compare the two.
Yeah. You should watch that if you've never seen it.
Great movie.
Yes.
But, yeah, this has been
That's
The
it.
Spy Who Loved Me.
With the Bond Boys.
The Bond Boys.
And we'll return with Live and Let Die.
Peace out.